Hi everyone, and welcome.
Hi, I'm excited to dive into today's topic because it's one that I think teachers and learners alike have strong feelings about. Shall we reveal it?
Absolutely. Today, we're tackling the concept of summative assessment, but with a twist. We're talking about how to make it purposeful, student-centered, and, dare I say, actually useful for both students and teachers. Lisa, summative assessments often get a bad reputation. Don't they?
Oh, they really do. For so many people, summative assessment conjures up images of high-pressure exams or final projects that feel more like punishment than learning. But it doesn't have to be that way. When done right, summative assessment can validate a learner's growth and provide teachers with valuable insights into their own practice.
Exactly. Think of it as the quality control check on the learning production line. It's not meant to be a hammer that punishes students for one bad day, but rather a way to confirm what they've actually learned and can reliably do. So, let's break this down. Lisa, what should summative assessment ideally accomplish?
Great question. First and foremost, it should certify that the student has reached the intended level of competence. It's about showing them, and you, as the teacher, here's what you can do now. But it's also diagnostic for the teacher, helping identify what worked in instruction and what didn't. And it should spark metacognition in students, encouraging them to reflect on how they learned and how they can apply those skills in the future.
I love that idea of metacognition. It's like closing the loop on learning, isn't it? Students not only demonstrate their skills but also reflect on the strategies they used, where they struggled, and how they can improve. But how do we design summative assessments to achieve all this?
Well, it starts with alignment. Every summative task should directly map to the learning objectives of the course. For example, if your goal was teaching application or transfer of knowledge, don't just test factual recall. Use tasks that are authentic and transferable, like real-world case studies or projects that require students to apply what they've learned in a meaningful way.
Right, and authenticity is such a game-changer. When students see the relevance of a task to the real world, their motivation often skyrockets. But let's talk about another key element, clarity. How important is it to be crystal clear about expectations?
Oh, it's absolutely vital. Uncertainty breeds anxiety. Students need to know exactly what's expected of them. That means sharing rubrics, exemplars, and detailed task explanations well in advance. A good rubric not only outlines the criteria but also separates learning feedback from the grade itself, offering actionable insights for improvement.
And that ties nicely into the role of feedback, doesn't it? A grade alone doesn't teach much. It's the feedback that really drives learning. Lisa, what types of feedback work best in a summative context?
You need a combination, really. Conversational feedback, like short one-on-one meetings, is fantastic for clarifying misunderstandings and boosting motivation. Then there's written feedback, which should be tied directly to the rubric and offer specific, actionable advice. And finally, post-assessment commentary can demystify how the task was graded, helping students understand what success looks like.
That's such a comprehensive approach. But let's address the elephant in the room, high stakes. How do we keep summative assessments from crushing a student's intrinsic motivation, especially for those who rely heavily on grades as external validation?
Great point. One way is to reduce unnecessary pressure. For instance, you can provide formative practice that mirrors the summative task, so students know what to expect. Allowing for revisions or resubmissions can also shift the focus from getting it right the first time to a more growth-oriented mindset. And when in doubt about a borderline judgment, lean towards decisions that preserve the student's motivation.
That's so important. It's about being fair and empathetic, isn't it? Speaking of fairness, let's talk about accommodations and equity. How do we ensure summative assessments are accessible to all students?
It starts with planning. Make accommodations transparent and equitable, whether it's extra time, alternative formats, or assistive tools. Blind marking can also help reduce bias, and moderation processes can ensure consistency in subjective assessments. And always check for cultural and linguistic relevance in your tasks.
Such practical advice. Now, Let's shift gears a bit and talk about what happens asterisk after asterisk the summative assessment. What should teachers be doing with the results?
This is where the real magic happens. Teachers should analyze the results to inform their future instruction. Look at the class mean and standard deviation. Are most students mastering the material, or is there a lot of variability? Conduct an item analysis to see which parts of the task were most challenging. Then use that data to adjust your teaching strategies, pacing, or even the curriculum itself.
It's like using the summative as a mirror for your own teaching practice. I love that. And speaking of practical applications, can you give us an example of a well-designed summative task?
Sure. Imagine a final project in a unit on inquiry skills. Students create a practical artifact, like a mini research report or prototype, which counts for 70% of the grade. Then, they document their planning and revisions, which makes up 15%, and finish with a 500-word metacognitive reflection. The rubric assesses knowledge, process, metacognition, and communication, offering a well-rounded picture of their competence.
That's such a thoughtful design. It's not just about the final product, but also the process and the reflection. Lisa, as we wrap up, any final tips for teachers looking to make their summative assessments more purposeful?
Absolutely. Think of summative assessment as part of the teaching process, not just the endpoint. Share rubrics and exemplars in advance, include metacognitive prompts, and always follow up with actionable feedback. And remember, it's not about punishing students. It's about certifying their growth and using that information to improve your own practice as a teacher.
Such great advice. Well, that's all. We hope you found this discussion helpful. Keep learning and keep growing.